It was 2007 when a parent complained to school administrators in Maine that a student named Nicole Maines was being allowed to use the girls' restroom. Maines was a transgender girl. Author Amy Ellis Nutt tells her story in the book Becoming Nicole.
It was a young boy in the fifth grade who, at the instigation of his guardian, his grandfather, followed Nicole into the girls' room, the girls' room that she had been using always without incident, and said, well, you're really a boy, and if you can be in here, then I can be in here too.
Administrators banned Nicole from using the girls' bathroom. In 2014, she and her family won a discrimination lawsuit against the school in the Maine Supreme Court. Amy Ellis Nutt told me that this case and Nicole's story stand at the beginning of this national debate we're having, including in Washington State, about transgender rights.
It was the first case to be won, first case brought against a school system by a student in which transgender student won the right to use the restroom of her gender identity. So it kind of set the table for this discussion.
Why do you think this is so full of grappling, so difficult?
You know, honestly, I think it's so difficult because it is foreign to most people. But I think the misconceptions and the myths around what transgender people, who they are and what it means to have a different gender identity than the body you were born into, it causes people to feel, you know, uncomfortable, and it's difficult to wrap their heads around. I mean, one of the most poignant things about Nicole as she was growing up and identifying always from the age of two as female, and obviously well before she transitioned, before college, surgically transitioned, she would take showers in the dark. Transgender people don't want to be reminded of the anatomy that doesn't match who they feel and believe they are. So the last thing that a transgender person wants anyone to see in a public bathroom or any place else is a part of their anatomy that is foreign to them.
I want to talk about some of the public's discomfort with this. You know, at a public bathroom here in Seattle, a place called Green Lake, a man went into the women's room saying, hey, I identify as a woman today. And the question was, is this the beginning of a serious ongoing backlash against transgender rights?
You know, this is an issue that's misplaced. And, you know, it's a matter of someone who identifies and is and believes and acts and dresses as the gender they believe themselves to be, should be allowed to use the restroom of their choice. And they do all the time without incident. The incidents are being caused by people who want to make it an issue who are not transgender. It's society that favors conformity, but it's nature that favors diversity. And that when we begin and when we're able to look at transgender as not an aberration but a variation, then I think, you know, we're more than halfway towards accepting.
And how problematic do you think that kind of backlash is? Do you think this is something that was a one-off and we'll virtually never hear it again? Or do you think there's actually going to be a problem, as those opponents seem to want to point out, that there's a problem here? Hey, anybody can go into any place.
You know, but it's just not the case. The way the laws are set up, it's if you are a transgender person, if you identify, it's not a matter of, oh, today I'm going to identify as black or as Native American or, you know, as a man or as a woman. It doesn't work that way, obviously. And I do think whether this is a one-off or a two or a three-off, I do think that these will be the minority because generally, in life, the way this has worked is it has not been a problem. And I think the less we draw attention to it, then I think the more acceptable it will be to people when they realize there's nothing to be afraid of. There are no incidents of a transgender person attacking someone in a bathroom. It just hasn't happened. And therefore, whatever safety concerns are raised are, frankly, unfounded.
What do you think then is happening to our cultural idea of gender? What do you imagine gender is going to mean to Americans in, I don't know, a generation, 50 years? What do you see?
Look, there are many, many variations of gender that we've discovered. Not everyone is 100% male or 100% female. We are all variations on the average, both in our physique, our sexual organs, and in our, frankly, a lot of times in our gender identity. We're brought up with these stereotypes that really end up being stereotypes. It's easier to be able to categorize people, but frankly, it diminishes who we really are. So as our understanding of who we are expands, we need to expand and make room in our language and frankly, in our understanding of one another. And that's not easy. And it does mean, you know, grappling, you know, with what male and female means. It doesn't mean, you know, anybody can be anybody who they are, but we are all different. There are many variations and gradations of being human. It is a human continuum. And I think the more we're able to sort of understand the subtleties of that, I think the better we are as individuals and as a society.
You can see the pull, the allure of keeping things simple, even in your story of Nicole Maines. Her mom, whose daughter is a transgender girl, still says things like, yeah, Nicole, even from the beginning, she wanted to wear girls' clothes. I mean, even her mom still has in her mind, there's girls' clothes and there's boys' clothes.
Right. But that's right. And, you know, look, we do know that there are, in general, differences between men and women. That's clear. But it's not a matter of greater or better or smarter or more gifted. It's a matter of differences. And the differences end up actually being, you know, fairly minute.
Parents of transgender kids will tell you, your child is not like you expected. Well, isn't that called parenthood?
Yeah. But, you know, we all have expectations. We have expectations all of our lives as a son or as a daughter, as a mother, as a father. And I think what was interesting about the Maines family was, you know, Wayne grew up in a small town, very close-knit family. And he had a sense of what his expectations of having a family were based on his experience. Kelly grew up in the Midwest. She was given up for adoption by her birth mother. She left home at 16. You know, she had a much more chaotic background. And to that extent, she wasn't laden with the expectations of what a perfect family looked like. And I think it behooved her and Nicole because she was basically open to figuring out what her child needed, not what she needed or what she wanted her child to be, but what was her child telling her. And, you know, she began where a lot of us begin in this day and age. She began by Googling boys who like girls' toys. And that led her on an odyssey of discovering who her child was and how she could best help her.
So, Amy Ellis Nutt, do you have a sense that this American transgender debate, right now it's centering around bathrooms and locker rooms, do you have a sense that this debate will dwindle as a debate, or that we're just we're digging into closely held values that are going to continue to be a sore spot in this country?
You know, I don't really think it's about values, and that's why I don't think that this debate, this controversy, is long-lasting. At least I hope it's not. I think in some way it's been focused on bathrooms because, again, that's sort of easy to get our minds around. You have a boys' room and you have a girls' room, and therefore we think everything should be neat and easy. In fact, it's been okay all along. This is essentially a kind of made-up controversy based on people trying to understand or not understand or not grapple with what it means for a person who is born into a certain anatomy to identify as the opposite gender. Look, in my lifetime, I didn't think we'd get to gay marriage. I think the extent to which transgender people are being discussed and interviewed and are appearing more on TV and on the covers of magazines and in books like Becoming Nicole, I believe that it's all a process of familiarizing and educating. And I would challenge anyone who talked with Kelly and Wayne or talked to Nicole or talked to Jonas to think other than that they're a pretty ordinary family, a mother, a father, a son, and a daughter. And I think that that's the direction we're going. At least I hope so.
Amy Ellis Nutt is the author of Becoming Nicole, The Transformation of an American Family. Here in Washington, there is a proposed state initiative that would change the state's discrimination law so that bathrooms and locker rooms, public or private, could be restricted to so-called biologically male or female people. This is Initiative 1515, and the signature gathering is underway.